listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I am broadcasting from the state capital of Illinois. I'm in Springfield, and I'm in the basement. I'm in the bowels, Paul Farvar. I'm down here all by my lonesome. I'm trying I don't know what's happening. Are we on the phone together? I have to turn this off. I've been trying to Google chat room with you. We've got a lot going on, Paul.
And I turned off the Google chat, but we're having a kegger here, so you're missing out.
There's like, this is a lot
there's
going
like 40
on.
Dudes here. We're going to party. You're missing out.
I understand. Well, we can't. Look, we have a lot to cover. There's a lot going on in the studio. There's a lot going on in this country. And over the weekend, it was announced. Well, I mean, last week we heard that Jill Stein had started a GoFundMe campaign to raise money in order to launch a recount in the state of Wisconsin, then possibly Michigan and Pennsylvania. People want to know what's going on. And joining us on the line is investigative reporter and author Greg Palast, who can tell us a lot more because he's written the book. Well, he's written about billionaires and bandits. And I want that's a tongue twister, Greg. I'll be honest with you right there. Greg, are you there? Hello.
Democracy, money can buy a tale of billionaires and ballot bandits. See if you can say that.
A tale of billionaires and ballot bandits. There you go. Okay, I'm trying. How are you doing tonight? There's a lot going on, and you're in the thick of it, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in the thick of it. I'm sitting here writing away. Yeah. I investigated how Trump was going to steal the election for Rolling Stone, which I thought, of course, I'm going to look stupid by Tuesday night. Wasn't. So Jill Stein had asked me, for some reason, to release the information. She was going for the recount. I've been spending a lot of time talking with her team on the details. In Michigan and Wisconsin especially, there's a heck of a lot of there's a very good chance that they're going to be able to turn around the vote because there's a lot of trickery, game playing, and mendacity is.
Ooh, mendacity! We haven't heard that.
I would say, yeah.
I'm looking it up right now. So.
Yeah, look up mendacity. Paul has a tough time on the show.
Okay, it's voice of friends later.
Yeah, I'm the voice of the people.
Okay. Yeah. So what's happening is that a lot of people showed up and their names are missing from the voter rolls. They're given something called provisional ballots, which are what I call them placebo ballots because they let you think you voted, you feel like you voted, but you haven't. Because provisional ballots, if your name's not on the voter roll, they say, "Oh, your name's not here." Or we don't like your ID in Wisconsin. That's a favorite one because the federal courts just said they could have these things where you have to have a special tattoo and whatever. All kinds of crazy rules on
tattoos.
What constitutes a proper ID. Even though no one's ever been caught in Wisconsin, you know, faking their ID. No identity thieves are running around voting. Because you go to jail for 5 years if you pull that stunt. Not a big incentive to steal a vote that way. But anyway, so they have these ID laws. They have a lot of people missing from the voter rolls. They show up and they're given a provisional ballot. And then the doors close at the end of the day, and the magic begins. And they, because very partisan officials up there in both Michigan and Wisconsin, they chuck a lot of those ballots. In fact, by the way, nationwide we have about 2.7 million provisional ballots cast, and about a million get thrown in the dumpster, usually for cockamamie reasons. And
well,
so you have a recount,
by the way,
and they're going to fight over every one of these provisional ballots. Why did you reject this one? Is this really a criminal voter? Or why does this 90-year-old woman, and that's a real case, 90-year-old woman has been voting for 40 years at the same place, and she doesn't have the right ID. Is she really a criminal voter? Do you really want to take away her Democratic right? No, counter vote. That's what they're fighting for.
Well, Greg, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. When they throw away vote, because I actually saw this almost happen during a primary in the state of Illinois for Governor Rauner. There was a woman, there was something wrong with her ballot, and she was older. She had a cane. She made it across the gymnasium floor. They saw her walk out, and they were like, oh, there's something wrong with her ballot. I guess we'll just have to throw it out. And I said, no, she clearly meant that vote. Go get her. And they were just shrugged. I ran and got her from her car and said, excuse me, if you don't come back, they're going to throw your vote away. So there is no.
She hit you with her cane.
No, she came back. No, she was.
Democracy. You should join the Fetrakis team because it's all about running out and getting the old ladies and saving their votes. And that's the point. And, voting officials come up with all these cockamamie reasons to throw away your vote. In her case, if she had a mismarked ballot or slightly difficult ballot to read, they would call it a spoiled vote. So goodbye with your ballot. And there are about 1.5 million spoiled votes in America in a presidential election.
Oh.
But they aren't always spoiled. So, for example, in Michigan, you have a lot of people who voted twice for president, pick two candidates for president. Now, I know that Detroit schools suck, but even graduates of Detroit schools know that you can only vote for one president. You get one president at a time. And so what happened here, the chief lawyer for Stein would call a calibration problem. You got those little, I don't know if you use them in Illinois, the opti-scans where it's like you fill in little dots a card and then the machine reads the card. Those cards are like the things you fill out on an SAT test or something. And so those are off. If the machines are off like a couple hundredths of an inch, someone put in their card a little bit twisted or wrong, you end up with an extra mark on the ballot. The machine is stupid. The robots are stupid. They read it and they go, oh, someone tried to vote twice. Vote is thrown out. But a human eyeball, which is a wonderful machine, miraculous machine, can easily look at a card and say, no. They voted once. That's a stray mark. Or it looks like they didn't vote at all. A lot of blank ballots in Michigan. But if you look at the card, it wasn't blank. It was just misaligned for the reader, so the reader didn't see the dots. So they have to go literally eyeball 2.7 million ballots there, and they're going to fight over that. They're going to fight in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is saying they may not even be able to see the ballots, which is pretty hard to recount if you can't look at them, that they're going to just pay. They're going to tell Stein that she has to pay local officials in Wisconsin. They can decide whether you can see the ballots while they are recounting them or whether you can recount the ballot and they'll watch you. But it'll be up to each election official, which is kind of not the point of a recount. It's supposed to be someone else in public looking at those ballots and saying, yeah, that's a fair count of the ballot. So I think there's a lot of reasons to doubt whether the election was fair and square. And there's an awful lot of reason to believe that the microscopic Trump plurality is going to go down the tubes in Wisconsin and Michigan. Pennsylvania will be harder because they have what we call push and pray machines. You stick your thumb on your candidate and you hope that someone records it somewhere, but there's really no kind of way to verify.
I've never heard of push and pray.
And so it's kind of faith-based voting. You just hope that it works out. That's going to be harder for them to challenge, because they're going to actually have to kind of open the machines, argue over software, et cetera. One thing that they are not looking for, by the way, is some Russian hacker.
Right. This is all
into the machines. That's not really on the table.
But there was, if I can interject,
Paul, can we hold your question for after the break?
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break, if you don't mind. We're talking to an investigative reporter and author, Greg Palast. You can go to his website, gregpalast.com. That's a PALAST.com with Greg in front of it. I should really spell it all out, but I think you get it.
Yeah.
We're talking to Greg Palast about the recount, about the discrepancies in the tallies, the totals across the country, in particular, obviously, right now in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Let's find out more when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from Springfield, Illinois. I'm down here to cover our state legislature, and we are talking politics right now and what's going on with the recount. We have Greg Palast on the line. He's an investigative reporter and an author and a documentary. You have a film out as well, the best democracy money can buy, and you've got a lot. You're a busy man.
Yeah, that's, by the way, featuring Rosario Dawson and Shailene Woodley and Ice-T and Willie Nelson and Santa Claus.
I see Ed Asner, by the way. Yes. I see Ed Asner on this, by the way, who has licked my face, and that's really all we need to say about Ed Asner.
I don't want to know this.
You know what? Neither did I.
My film, though, because that's the type of thing we had. Yeah, it was all about how Donald Trump was going to steal the election. I thought, oh my God, this film is going to be worthless by Tuesday night, because I began believing some of the hype, but no.
No.
Well, yeah.
Paul Farber had a question for you in regards to the election.
Well, when you were talking about deception and used that big word that I learned earlier, I think it was called mendacity. I thought of. I worked on a campaign in 2008, and I don't know if there's evidence of this, but There was something going on in Indiana in 2008 where they were suppressing votes by having by telling elderly people that the lines are going to be really long, and they would have them sign up for voting in advance, and then they would show up on the date of the election, and they would say, "Oh, you already voted," and then they would have to file a provisional ballot. Now, I don't know what that's called, but I guess. I mean, that was happening as
yeah, that is a type of vote suppression. It's a dumb, simple trick, and it's sad when you prey on the elderly, and sometimes they actually deliberately do create long lines. I mean, I was in Ohio on Republican Party had resisted Sunday voting, where most black people vote. About 70% of black folk in Ohio vote on the Sunday before the normal election day. Because back in 2004, I don't know if you remember, there's those pictures of black people waiting in line 7 hours in the rain, and they close the door on. So they said, okay, we'll vote early. The GOP tried to stop the early voting that was established in Ohio. So instead the GOP Secretary of State said, okay, the courts are making us have you vote on Sunday. We'll be fair. We'll have every county have one single polling place. That meant all of Cleveland had one polling place. Jeez. All of Cleveland. I was in Dayton. One polling place for half a million residents, and the lines were snaking through the parking lots of the state building, hours and hours and hours to vote. And then on the Tuesday, when most white people vote, I checked the lines in the suburbs, and there was literally no line. There were more poll workers than voters. And so they'll play games like this, and some of those you can't recount a long line, right? If someone says, there are people in the line who said, I have to go to work. I can't stay here another 2 hours, right? That you can't measure. But you can measure things where people find their names missing from the voter rolls. That's a really, really big one in Michigan, because Michigan used a system called cross-check. Now, I know people are saying that Trump is losing his mind because he's saying millions of people are millions of illegal voters. But I've actually investigated this for Rolling Stone over the past 2 years. He's actually been saying this for 2 years now, even before he announced. And so what happened was, Trump's crazy like a fox. When he says people are voting many times, he's saying people are voting multiple times is the reason he's saying that they're illegal voters and illegal voters on the rolls, that they're voting in more than one state. They'll vote in Illinois and they'll vote in Wisconsin because they're registered in two states. And he says literally a million people are doing this, and that comes from a list created by his operative, a guy named Chris Kobach. That's the guy who said he could build a wall and charge Mexico for it.
Right.
So he came up with a list of suspects, and he handed it to 30 Republican secretaries of state, your kind of little voting officials, and Michigan knocked off about 60,000 people off the voter rolls based on this accusation that they may have voted twice. And who is it that may have voted twice? They try to keep the list from me, but if you know Greg Palast, I'm an investigative reporter, so I go get anything that's confidential, I get it. I got the list. The list are people like, I'm kidding you not, I just looked at the list just a minute ago for Michigan. They said a guy named James Thomas Brown of Michigan is supposed to be the same guy as James Kendrick Brown of Georgia. And so both those guys could lose their vote. About one in seven people on this list lost their
vote.
And
they have a lot of people. Greg, I know we have to let you go, and I've got to run. Where can people find out more about the work that you're doing? And we want to talk to you again if you have the time.
Just go to gregpalast.com, GREGPALAST.com, and you can always get the movie, on Amazon for a couple bucks.
Excellent. Well, the story is continuing to unfold. Thank you so much for your time, and I know you have a lot of work to do. We'll talk to you again soon.
See you at the movies. Bye.
Thank you so much, Greg Palast. More after this on 720 WGN.